This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I'm just waiting for my next guest, Colonel John Mangan, and it's going to be a fascinating talk because this is a man who has been written about in so many books, and then I guess he just said one day, I might as well write a book myself, and he has done a terrific job, so I'm just waiting for him to call in as I just finished with Dave Pilkey about his Captain Underpants. He's on a book tour across the country, and it's all so exciting when authors have a new book coming out and they get to go on these tours and to meet people and to go around to the different cities and have these book signings. And so look for on Dave Pilkey. I think he's going to be also in our area here in Florida. Of course, I don't know anything now with the hurricane stuff, so we have to check on that. But you can go to his website, Dave Pilkey, or just Pilkey.com. Okay, hi. Are we okay? Okay, I have on the phone Colonel John Mangan, right?
Yes, this is Patsy I'm talking to.
Yes, hi. Okay.
Oh, pleasure to finally meet you.
Okay, well, I am so excited to have you on the program for several reasons. First of all, I will tell everybody that your new book just came out, Into a Dark Frontier. Well, it's not just a new book. It's your first book. Is this your first book?
It's the first one that's been published.
First one that's been published. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell people about you. First of all, of course, you've been written about in many books. And the nice thing about it is you were written about in 06 Bravo, right? And
yep.
You were written about in what other books? A couple other books. Not a Good Day to Die and None
yes.
Braver. And then so finally you said, okay, that's enough. I better start writing my own. Wow.
Yeah, those weren't necessarily mentioning me by name.
I know, but they were talking about what you
yes,
did, because you
yeah,
are...
Yeah, talking about the missions that I flew with the rest of my crew.
Wow, because you are major. You are a major colonel, that's it.
Lieutenant colonel.
Yeah, lieutenant colonel. Well, we'll knock you up a
you gave me a promotion.
That's
there.
Right, why not? Because you've been awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross with Valor twice, the Air Medal 12 times, I mean, let's make it a dozen, why not, and then the 2008 Cheney Award. You've been deployed to the Middle East 8 times and
yes.
commanded the 33rd Expeditionary Rescue Squadron in Kandahar, Afghanistan.
Yes.
And then now you've written what is going to be a best-selling book, because this book, no, I'm telling you, when I read this book, it's called Into a Dark Frontier. This book, the first 7 chapters of this book are so good. I read the first 7 chapters and I stopped for a moment and I said to myself, were they as good as I just thought? And I went back and I read it again. And I'm thinking someday they're going to use this in a workshop, in a classroom.
Oh,
that
wow.
The pacing of those 7 chapters is absolutely perfect.
Oh wow!
It is
cool.
So.
Thank you.
It is so. It you build. I'm thinking to myself. You know, I knew it was your first published book, but I'm thinking this guy he's honed his craft, because whoa, you can't. Most people cannot write 7 chapters that just are nonstop action and so exciting that you really cannot stop reading them.
Oh, thank you. What is somewhat funny, though, is that was my intent with those first 7 chapters. I had to start with a bang and really, really come out strong.
Wow.
To capture an audience. And so I was reading a review just the other day, like on Amazon, from some fella. He said, yeah, the first few chapters, things started out really slow, but I stuck with it.
Whoa.
So I was like, oh, there's no pleasing everybody. Just got to do what you can.
Well, I think they are terrific. the story.
Well, thank you.
The
really
story is terrific. But as I said, these I went back and I read the first seven chapters a third time because I wanted to see. I really wanted to analyze it. How did he do it? And really brilliant.
Oh, well, thank you.
And of course, let's talk a little bit about the story and the character,
okay.
Because I think it's really. Well, you tell as much as you want about it, because I don't like always to give away everything, but you tell people what you want them to know about Slade Crawford, who is your main character, and a fascinating, fascinating guy.
Thank you. Let's see. So we can start. Would you like to start with the story itself or with the character?
Well, I like the character. Let's start with the character.
Okay.
I like him.
So the character has evolved over time, and I really started to identify with him because he's created from people that I know and a little bit of myself. The entire writing experience was came from several, all of my experiences downrange and my life experiences, my family, my friends. And so I've tried to create everything from kernels of truth. So if you could say, if you're weaving a tapestry, of course, the finished product is fiction, but I'm weaving it together from threads of truth, my own experiences, things that I saw, things that I participated in. And so I took the same route with the character because I've known some very, very interesting people. My brother is a decorated SEAL, and through him, through knowing him, knowing his experiences, knowing his friends, and being a part of their lives, I've seen some really, really interesting characters, and also some very tragic characters. And so I tried to build the main character from those real people that I know. And one of the really interesting things that I began to see was these characters who have these conflicting character traits, which are at odds with each other. For example, a lot of these men that I've known, they are true warriors at heart, and they have this. They're drawn to physical conflict. That is who they are. Some people refer to them as sheepdogs. Some refer to them as wolves. It's a natural fighting instinct, and they are drawn to the sound of the guns. They're drawn to battle, and that's what they pursue in their lives. But at the same time, they have a strong sense of duty towards their country and their family and their brothers in arms. And sometimes those two characteristics conflict with each other in the sense that a wife and a child might not need a warrior. They might need a father more than anything else. But this character is, like I said, drawn to the sound of the guns. And so they feel a strong need to be there for their family, but they also feel a need which pulls them away from the family and pulls them away from the normal, healthy, as you and I would call it, healthy, normal life here in the peacetime world. And so a lot of these fellows, it's extremely, extremely difficult to try and hold together the family life. And many of them don't do it. And their lives begin to fall apart. And and it creates incredible conflict within their own lives. And so I was trying to follow that thread of conflicting impulses in Slade as he is drawn back to the sound of the guns and back to that physical conflict, but he's also mourning the loss of his personal life, of his family life, and some of the tragedies that have occurred because of his choice. And so he has a strong sense of guilt about some of these failures in his life with the people that he loves. And so those conflicts and those feelings of guilt and a need for redemption drive Slade throughout the story. And so you'll see Slade, and he's a consummate warrior. And when he's out there just steamrolling the opposition and doing what needs to be done, those are the other people that I know. But every now and then he'll stop and kind of, as I've said, stare at his belly button and go, but what does it all mean? And that's a bit more of me coming through at that point. Just kind of think. And so I would say he's a complex character drawn together from multiple different people.
Well, you know, Robert K. Tannenbaum is a contributor here at Joy on Paper, and he does he does little segments for me talking about the books that he recommends. And I know that he highly recommends your book. He says that Into Dark Frontier plunges the reader into the chaos of an African continent where anarchy reigns, a new near futuristic scenario, one that could really emerge. And then I love what he says. He says, expect an overdose of action and danger that careens off the scale. And boy, is Bob Tannenbaum right, because I'm talking overdose of action. I don't think since Vince Flynn have we had so much intense action as in this book. It's amazing. And as you said, there is depth to it. There is this wanting, your character wants to know why things are happening. And so that's why there's I don't know who we could compare you to, Robert Ludlum type of depth of story, but with a lot more action. I mean, I'm talking action. Woo!
The original book that I finished writing was almost double the length of what has been published. It's really been trimmed down to very much just the action. Just working with my editor and my publisher, it's a process which I'm sure every author goes through. But my original intent was to be much more of a character study, a character-driven character-driven story, but it was much slower. And I tried for years to get it published and didn't succeed. So I'm hoping that perhaps if I build a little bit of a reputation and some followers, people who are interested in this storyline, the next book will be a bit more character-driven. And I can dive a little bit deeper into Slade and his relationships with the other characters, and take on some deeper morality questions. And so I'm really looking forward to the second book, with same flavor, but perhaps a bit more on the character-driven side.
Well, that's a smart way to do it, because what you need to do is get the name out there, get your character out there, and identifiable, and very much in sort of that Vince Flynn style, where your character is so well known and where people care about him. And I think people will care about Slade and what happens to him and the people around him. But boy, they're not cheated on the action. So it's amazing. And well, you're amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, really, you know, of course, you're a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy. And
yes.
I am deeply involved with the Air Force.
Really?
Yes. I'm doing a project called Forgotten F-105 Warriors.
Oh, wow.
And I've been working on that for a number of years. And I have been with my a partner, trying to get through to the American History Channel, which unfortunately, or one of the other big channels, unfortunately, they keep repeating stories about Nazis all the time, and instead of wanting to do American heroes, and as you might know, the F-105 pilots were among the very best. I mean, there will never be pilots like the F-105 pilots again. They were amazing.
The Wild Weasels.
And really what they did and that Operation Rolling Thunder that they went through in Vietnam was
staggering. I think they went several years and never had a pilot complete 100 missions.
Well, we got quite a few who did make 100, but a lot didn't, and a lot of my, and of course, many of them landed up in the Hanoi Hilton. And so I've been working on this project, and it's a story not just about the F-105 pilots, but also the ground crew, because it was the ground crews who kept these planes going. And so I love the Air Force, and I'm so honored to be able to talk to anybody in the Air Force. Of course, Colonel Leo Thursness was helping me on this project, and he was, of course, on Joy on Paper, and we talked about his years in the Hanoi Hilton, and he was such an amazing, amazing person. And so I'm just always honored to talk to anybody from the Air Force, and you are so amazing. Eight times deployed to the Middle East. That was enough.
I think that was enough.
I think it's now it's a good idea that you're out of there, because
just home taking care of the kids now. It's a lot simpler life.
Yeah, and all you have to do now is live through your books and share that some of the excitement of whatever you went through, because you must have gone through something to get the Air Medal 12 times. So, I think there's a reality in your books of someone who's actually seen things and done things, and that comes through too in the book.
I really did want to do that, because I was so amazed by people that I met downrange, everywhere from these 19-year-old Marines all the way up to these grizzled special forces sergeants that have been doing it for 20, 30 years. It was really just staggering to see the poise and dedication and endurance that they demonstrated. I always felt a bit like a tourist they're out there working, doing their job day and night for months at a time out in the field. Then something happens and I would just, fly out, visit, pick people up and take them home. And that's simplifying my job, but I was just out there for a few hours at a time. And it was always amazing to see the endurance displayed by these men and boys. And I always just felt like I could never do enough for them. I could never contribute enough or help enough. And so a part of my drive on this book was I wanted to show their character, the depth of their character and the depth of their sacrifice and dedication. And so, of course, my book is fiction, but the sacrifice and dedication that Slade demonstrates is 100% real. And I was always just in awe of the courage that I saw. And one thing which has always, always stuck with me was during Operation Anaconda in 2002, there was a tragedy that, it's been referred to as the Battle of Roberts Ridge, where several Chinook, two Chinooks were shot down, a Navy SEAL captured, and some others killed. And I was kind of on the periphery of that battle. I wasn't right in the heart of it, but we were there attempting to, perform a rescue. And I saw the squad of SEALs preparing to do, it was going to be, I think, the third rescue attempt. The first two had failed. And they were, men killed, helicopters shut out, and they were planning the third rescue attempt. Now it was broad daylight, and the enemy was aware and waiting for them. And I saw them planning their mission, and it was, all this technology that we have, it had kind of all been reduced down, and now there was just a handful of Army sergeants, drawing their plan in the dirt with their fingers, as soldiers have for millennia, I imagine. And it was all had come down to them, and they were drawing their next battle plan in the dirt, doing a little rock drill for what I thought was pretty much a suicidal rescue attempt. And they just looked as they were as calm as could be. They were just as calm and composed. And It just looked like they were, I've written this before, as if they were planning a trip to the grocery market. And it was just stunning, just watching this composure and courage of these men, and that has always left an impression on me. And so I've tried to depict that in my novel of men who are able to just put thoughts of, mortality aside and do what needs to be done. It's just, I lack the words for it. It was just staggering, and that's always stuck with me. And so those are some, I would say, as I'm writing this story, that's the ink that I dipped my pen into as I tried to create these characters and how they act and react. So that's just one of the things which has driven my attempt to write the story here.
Well, I think it shows very much in your dedication, because you've dedicated this book. You say this book is dedicated to those who serve something greater than themselves. And I think that's a beautiful dedication for you. The first of, I think, what will be many books that will follow Slade along in his adventures. And the future books can be to the wife, children, and all this. But I think that the first book, I think it was so appropriate that you dedicated to all the people who really do so much for us and who have given.
Oh, well, thank you.
And so many who have given their lives.
Yes.
And to think of them at that time when you're dedicating the book, I thought it was very touching. I like the dedication. I always look at the dedication to see, I'm waiting for somebody who's dedicating it. I dedicate this book to my ex-wife who is going to get all the money or something, but I think it's so nice that you've dedicated it to the guys and the gals out there who have really given so much to all of us. And so I'm very proud to have you on the program today, Colonel John Mangan, Lieutenant Colonel, but we call you Colonel because that's what we address you. And
thank you.
And the book is called Into a Dark Frontier. It is available wherever books are sold, on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, I'm sure in the store also. And they can see you. Your webpage is John Mangan, M-A-N-G-A-N, books, johnmanganbooks.com. And
yes.
So my listeners can go there and find out more about you. And I just want to thank you so much for your service. You are...
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
You are completely an amazing person. And I am glad that you're not going to be going back to Kandahar for any research. You stay here and just write.
I'll
ask your brother and all of your friends out there to feed you the information you need so that you don't have to make any more trips to Kandahar.
I'll just do Google research from here on out.
That's right. You've done enough. We don't need. I wish we didn't have anybody there because it is such a dangerous place.
Yeah, it's pretty tragic.
Absolutely. So, again, thank you so much for being on the program today. It was my honor to talk to you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, ma'am.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Wow. He is something. My goodness. What do you have to do to get 12 air medals? A lot. And the Flying Cross for Valor twice. So I think he's been shot at a number of times. He's a very handsome guy. His photo is in the back of his book. There he is in his uniform, a very handsome guy. And I'm glad that he's out of danger, because I don't think his family wants him to go back to Kandahar to do any research. He's done enough. And the book is really, really interesting. It's completely a little bit... an unusual take on the subject of Africa and what's happening over there and the military, our military. So I think you will enjoy it, and a very nice book. Anyway, I want to thank him, and I want to thank all of you for listening in today. I think that all of you know that every time I talk about less. My last program was about writing a memoir, and it is a wonderful thing to do. So why don't you take some time this weekend and write? And remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. So take time to write. And meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it. And this is Patsy with a Z, hoping you will say something nice to somebody today. And I will start by saying something nice to Big Ed. And then while you're at it, go to my Facebook page and like me and Twitter me. And just have a wonderful weekend. Reading. Bye-bye now.